Welcome to Beaver Lodge Alliance's sermon podcast. We're so glad to join you. This is the latest sermon. We pray that you would receive encouragement, exhortation, and that Jesus would speak to you through this sermon. Enjoy.
My title for the message is Our True Identity in Christ. And what an identity we have. And so I was given a passage. It's Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. Is it up there? Look at this. All right. Somewhere here I'll get this. Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. Now, I'm Richard Smith. That's who I am. I married Joyce, and I have 5 children. And I'm really glad to be here. And I feel sorry for those people online that are watching, because it's way better here. That's my message today. That's my only reprimand I have for you. You're not here. And because you're not here, we can't see you. But you can see us. Or actually, you can see me, but that's not worthwhile, but the rest of the people are rather worthwhile. So, I was born in Hythe. Can you believe that? In Hythe. And 70 years later, I'm still in Hythe. And you know what the best part is? I'm happy there. Oh, the rest of you guys in Beaver Lodge, you should move to Hythe, you know? If you're out in the country, maybe you should move into Hythe. Anyways, the county looks after us very well. And I'm a teacher in Valhalla. And at 70, I'm teaching. It's just wonderful. But the best part is there's 80 kids there. So it's not too big. And even better than that is I teach 5 of my grandkids. 5. 5 out of 80. Every day when I go on my way to school, I think, this is good. I'm not only going to see my grandkids, I'm going to teach the kids. And the worst kid in my class, he's my grandson. But I shouldn't say the worst, because he has so improved, it's just wonderful. Anyways, it's a joy. So back in September, because Jerry and Sam have 6 kids, we only take 1 at a time, because it'll break the bank if you take all 6, right? So we took Ellie. So she's in kindergarten. So this was about a week after school started. And she said, Papa, you have a new name. And I said, really? I didn't know about this. Yes, it's Mr. Smith. So that's it, you know. And so the other reason I wore this suit is you haven't seen me in a suit before. And I tell Ernie, I like his tie. Every day I said, I should wear a tie. And I'm glad that some wear a tie every day to church, because it's different. And who was the old guy that wore a suit every day when he came? And he's passed away. Pardon? Yes. Corny Vaught. And so I always, and we even prayed together with him. And Corny was sort of a cool guy. But you know what? He couldn't pray out loud. So I would pray with him. And then I said, anything else you want to know? No, he said, that's pretty good. Okay, I said, we're good. You know? And so our identity in Christ isn't what we were. It's what we are through Christ. And so I want to read. Is it up there? Oh, good. Here we go. I'm going to read this. Is it in the same version? Once you were dead because of your disobedience and many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we are subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. but we'll just leave, but God. So the first three verses are bad news. I'm sorry. It's true. That's what God saved us out of. Now let me read. I'll read just another three verses in the Amplified Version. And you know what the best part is? When I preach, I give you the word. And if I read the word, and it's also in front of you, it doesn't matter really what I say. It's what God says. And so this is it. So Ephesians, and I'm going to read in the Amplified. And so guess what Amplified means? This gets it even more direct. So here we go. Galatians, Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. And you he made alive when you were dead, slain by your trespasses and sins, in which at one time you walked habitually, and you were following the course and the fashion of this world. You were under the sway of the tendency of the present age, following the prince of the powers of the air. You were obedient to him and were under his control. The demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience, the careless, the rebellious, the unbelieving, who go against the purposes of God. Among these, we as well as you once lived and conducted ourselves in the passions of our flesh, our behavior governed by our corrupt and sensual nature, obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind, our cravings dictated by our senses and our dark imaginations. We were then, by nature, children of God's wrath, heirs of his indignation, like the rest of mankind. It's sad news. And that's what we were. And you know what the best part is? We were dead. But we never, never must forget that the condition from which Jesus saved us, those past memories are the best fuel for our gratitude to Christ for all he has done for us. We don't have to dwell on our past. We are forgiven. As far as what? The east is from the west? Like, you can't even imagine that. Like, but where, that's where we're from. Satan has been defeated by Jesus' death and resurrection. It doesn't matter what we did. You know, we were dead in our sins. We were rebels against him. We were enslaved by the devil. But we are no longer there. You know what? Dead means blind. We couldn't see Christ. We couldn't see what was going on. I was, just one little story. I tell too many, but that's okay. I have a new identity in Christ. And my identity is with him. And so I want to sort of tell you who I am in this message. Because Christ has made the difference. It's not all that up. And so, I was reading this story straight out of to my kids. And it was a story about two boys that went to the forest. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the story, the author says, and John was blind. Well, I got all teared up and I had trouble reading the story because I thought, oh, if you can't see, you miss half the world. Now, there's a problem with Joyce. She thinks she would rather be blind and hear, because then she could hear the piano. But I'd much rather see and not hear. And then maybe I wouldn't hear her when she's talking to me. But that's... don't go there. That was a little... I shouldn't have went there. Anyways, come back with me. Yes. And yes, the other thing is, you're a slave to sin. You can't stop doing what we're doing. And the other thing is, you're a lover of darkness. You don't care about the light. And also, you're lost. It's terrible to be lost. I remember losing Joyce Lostley, one of the kids at West Edmonton Mall. Janet was 3 years old, and all of a sudden she was gone. It was a terrible feeling. If you've been lost, you know. You know, a dead man is fine in a coffin. Did you know that? It doesn't matter. But a man who is alive would feel suffocated, uncomfortable. That person would want to escape the coffin and leave it behind. Just like we as Christians want to leave our trespasses and sins. We don't feel comfortable any longer in our sins. But let me tell you a story about what I was like as a person of wrath, under the power of darkness, and a slave to sin. Now, I've got too many things wrapped around here, but that's okay. Don't want to leave my notes behind. Because this is a story, I don't really need notes. But this is probably a story that all your kids have heard. Because you see, I teach those kids down there. Maybe you didn't know that. Maybe you might not send them again. But it's a wonderful thing. And so when I was 7, I stole a dollar from my dad's wallet. Now, back in 62, $7 was a lot of money. My dad's manager was making $2 an hour. And I stole a dollar. Not one of those loonies. It was a paper dollar. You know what that's like. Well, I took it because there was no school the next day. I planned this. So I was in grade 1, and the next day, the new grade 1s got to go. So I got to stay home. So I took this dollar, and I went down to the store, and I spent the whole thing. And that was probably a mistake. If I would have only spent half of it, I wouldn't have got caught. But I spent the whole thing. And so you could buy, you know those black licorice babies? You could get 5 of them for a penny. I bought a nickel's worth. 25, a whole bag. You know those black jawbreakers? 5 of them for a penny. I bought 5. I mean, I bought 5 cents worth. 25, 2 bags. And chocolate bars were a nickel. The big ones were a dime. I had a whole bag of candy. All paper bag. And I was there. And my buddy, he was just ecstatic, man. He was with a rich guy. So he came along, and we went back to the fort. And there was a discarded display rack. We put out all our candy. And I had all day to eat it. Well, hold on. But guess what happened? My mother showed up. Oh, Richard, she said, where did you get this? Oh, the store. No. Where'd you get the money? Well, when you're caught, you may as well fess up and make it a little better. And I said, from Dad's wallet. Oh, she said, good. You have to deal with him. So I was 7. My 2 brothers, Herb and Jim, were 5 and 3. They don't know anything about this story. Nothing. Until I told him. Well, there I was. She said, come with me. Now my buddy, the minute my mother showed up, he said, this is all Richard's, none of this is mine. He wanted to make sure that he knew that there was a problem here, and he didn't want anything to do with it. So my mom took me down to the shop, and I don't know where she put those other 2 kids, probably at the neighbor's or something. And I was sitting in one of those Volkswagen Bugs with this big bag of candy, and I had to wait for my dad. And I waited. And I waited some more. And I waited longer. And I was still waiting. Finally, my dad came up. And he said, "What's this?" I said, "Candy." "Oh," he said. "And where'd you get it?" "The store." He said, "That's not all this is. How did you get the money?" "I stole it." "Oh, do you know what this is? This is stolen goods. Do you know what stolen goods are for? Good for nothing." Well, that didn't make sense to me. He said, "Come with me." So he took the bag, went to the back of the shop, and at the back of the shop was this huge U.S. Army pot-bellied stove, and he was heading directly for it. I said, "Dad, give it to your customers, give it to your mechanics. The candy's good." "No, no. What is it?" "Stolen goods." "Say this. What is it?" "And stolen goods are good for nothing." So we'll say that again. "Stolen goods are good for nothing. Stolen goods are good for nothing." My kids are way better than you guys down there, you know. They reply right away. But you got the drift. Well, not only did he throw the candy in there, he threw the paper bag. Now, that was unusual for him because he always saved everything that was any good. But you see what? It was stolen. And stolen goods are good for nothing. Then we went upstairs. I don't remember anything that went up there, but I know it's sort of blotted out of my memory. We used to bend over, make sure our jeans were tight, and Dad would take his belt and spank us. No problem. The only thing that hurt was my bum. And I don't remember that, but I remember coming down the stairs crying my eyes out. And you know what? It wasn't because of pain. It was because that candy was gone. It was stolen goods and good for nothing. And that was the first time that I realized that I was a thief. I was not nice. And what do I do about that? I'm stuck in verses 1, 2, and 3. There I was. I had no hope. I was done for. But guess what? There's good news. Guess what chapter verse 4 says? Turn it to that, please. Look at the first word. "But God." An amazing two words. Could be the amazing words in the Bible. "But God." And what did he do? "Is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved." Only God's grace. All the good things I've done, 70 years worth, man. Is it any good? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's only by God's grace are we saved. Then let's go on a little bit further. "For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ." Because of Jesus, we can go to heaven. Because of Jesus, we have all these things. And you know what's even, doesn't even talk about it there. We have the Holy Spirit because of Jesus. But God did that for us. Do you know what happened to me? That was when I was 7. I stole that dollar. Still remember as if it were today. But God, I went to Bear Lake Bible Camp. I was 8 years old. I had no idea what was going on. But my mom sent me. She knew it was good for me. So, any teenagers here that aren't downstairs, listen to your parents. They usually know what's good for you. Ask me. I got 5 of them. I usually know. So I went to Bear Lake Bible Camp. And guess what I learned there? Jesus died for me. I could be forgiven. All I had to do was ask. Oh, I asked Jesus into my heart. I can still remember on those wooden benches, and guess what? There was sawdust on the floor. And it changed my whole life. At 8 years old, I had to come back when I was 12, grade 12, and make sure I recanted and made sure that I was saved. But it was the start. And Jesus does that for us. We don't have to go all that way. Oh, good thing. You know what? Bruce, you should have sang longer. I would have enjoyed it way more. Anyway, thank you. You know, there I was. I was a slave to sin under the power of darkness, but Jesus made the difference. I became a new person. That's why I wore this suit. I was trying to be a new creation, sort of joining Ernie in the ranks. But you see, I have a new identity through Christ. So 62 years ago, I had that new identity, and I'm still new. I'm still with Christ. It makes all the difference. And then you know what? You guys are brothers and sisters with me. I feel sorry for you that you have to put up with me. But, oh, what a joy. We have people that, oh, and then those people that are just watching online, they have no idea what's going on. Oh, thank you for coming. Anyways, somewhere I left off. Let's go to verse 8. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this because it's a gift of God. You know, none of us can take credit for what we're here. None of us can do anything what we did. And you know what? Then there's some Christians who think that they became Christians, and now I got to do good because it's expected of me. It's not true. We're still saved. Doesn't matter what you do. Well, I don't know what. There's a few things that you can do wrong that might not let you get it. But there's nothing because it's a free gift. And you see, the whole difference of this is that the Holy Spirit makes you a new creation. And then because of that, everything we do is for the Lord. We're not trying to get brownie points. We do it because we want to. We come to church because we want to. Good thing I got notes I can go back. So when someone gives you a gift, you say, oh, that's nice. How much do I owe you? It's a gift. You don't say that. No, the appropriate response is to say thank you. But how often, as Christians, do we say, after we receive the gift of salvation, feel obligated that we have to work? We're not obligated. We're a new person. You want to do that. You know, when I started dating Joyce, I wanted to please her. Not because I had to, but I wanted to. She was a good lady. Took me 5 years to convince her to marry me, but other than that, one of the best things I ever did. You know, I'm a new creation, and I want to share what Christ has done for me. Several years ago, I went to prison. Huh, they let me out. Anyways, there was a chance to go to prison, and what does the Bible say? We're supposed to go visit the prisoners. We're supposed to do good things. I've never been to prison. I thought, I'll go. Well, this guy, we show up. We go to Grand Cache. It's a federal prison. It has two beautiful fences that are all that stuff in there with that. And I actually went and looked at them. And they have razor blades on that wire. So if you go to touch anywhere there, you're in trouble. You know, you'll get cut up and all that, and unless you have tools to cut it out. Anyways, and at the Grand Cache, guess what? There's cars and trucks that go around that prison every 10 minutes. Like, no, two people have escaped from Grand Cache, and guess what? There's nowhere to go, so they caught. Anyways, I went to this prison, and this guy is setting up the chapel. And so I thought, well, that's good. And we were there to do a church service. And after the church service, you have coffee and visit with them. And they just love visiting because it's someone else that's there. And so I said, where are you from? He said, Grand Cache. I said, no one's from Grand Cache. But he didn't want to answer. And so we learned that whatever the prisoner says, you just say, okay, let's go. So next time I go there, about a month and a half later, same guy setting up. I'll talk to this guy again. Go talk to him. Where are you from? Grand Cache. You sure? Yep. Didn't want to talk about it. Third time I went there, I said, where are you from? He said, Richard. Now he knows my name. He said, Richard, he said, I'm in here for life. Jesus has made such a difference in my life. He said, when you're here, it's like a light at the end of the tunnel. He said, you're so encouraging. It's thank you for coming. And you know what? Ever since that, any chance that I get to go to prison, I'll go and tell them a story and tell them, you guys have no choice. You got to listen. Well, they're even worse. They got a stick in that prison. And you know, we were just there a little while ago, two Sundays ago, five guards were waiting for them to come out. And this time there was about 35 guys in there. When we went before COVID, we got the maximum of 20. So there's already people. But you know what? That was 6 years ago. I didn't see anyone that was there back then. So people, we need to do those things. But you know what? It's not because I think I have to. It's because I want it. We want to make a difference in people's lives. And man, just to encourage, I'll go encourage him. It's worth it. You know, verse 10 is wonderful. For we are, did I read all this yet? No? Okay. God saved us by his grace when you believe. And you can't take credit for it. I read that. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast. Number 10, we are God's masterpiece. You know what? I'm a teacher, and I don't teach art. And there's a good reason why I don't teach art. Because, well, I do teach art to grades 1 and 2. So that's a little different because you can ask them to draw and you get them, they can color pretty good. But a masterpiece, some of those kids produce masterpieces. It's wonderful. But each of us is a masterpiece. And you see, here in verse 10, it says, verse 10, here we go. We become Christians through God's unmerited favor, not as a result of any effort, intelligent choice, or act of service on our part. However, out of gratitude for this free gift, we will seek to help and serve others with kindness, love, gentleness, and not merely to please ourselves, but to please God. We want to do it. The first time I really sort of understood what love is we had Joel, so that was our firstborn. And he was probably about 3 months old, and he was sick. And I came back from school, and Joyce worked all day to him, so I walked him up and down, and finally he went to sleep. We laid him down in the crib, and about an hour later, I was headed to bed. And I walked into that, and here's this kid laying there. Hasn't done a thing for me. All it's done is cost me money, done things, made my wife sick. And I loved that baby just because he was mine. Oh, the joy that, you know, and then the four more times it came along and I had four more blessings. Oh, and now I have grandkids that we pray for because they have to make their own choice. They can't come on my just because Papa's a Christian. They have to make their own choice. Well, let me tell you another story. Is that okay? Yeah, I still got time. Maybe it's a good thing you weren't so long, Bruce. You know, but just before I tell this story, this is the Bible that I gave to this guy. Okay? And our true identity in Christ. You know, Amy is wonderful. She made notes for me better than I could. You should take these. And then she also did a sheet. It says our true identity in Christ. And just think, it says we are justified, we are declared righteous. Why? Because of Jesus. No condemnation awaits us. Doesn't matter what people accuse us of. Guess what? We're redeemed. We are set free from the power of sin. And guess what? I yell. I get mad. We all fail. But guess what? It's redeemed. It's forgiven. God doesn't remember it. So why should I, if I've confessed it? Anyways, I'm going on to this story. Then I'm just about done. This is sort of sad, because I was coming from Peace River. And you laugh because it's sad? Good thing. I'm glad you're following along.
We're laughing because of the chaos that's happening.
Oh, there you go. Good. Anyways, I went to Peace River, and I'm a Gideon, and so we pass out Bibles. And so I was coming back from Peace River, and in Grimshaw, this guy is hitchhiking. And I thought, I just want to go home. So I drove past him, and then I thought, that poor sap, he's got to listen to the Bible. He's got to listen to my testimony. So I turned around, went around, and picked him up. So I found out, guess where he's from? He's a kid from Kelly Lake. Good thing I forgot his first name, but Latender, he was there. And I had from Grimshaw, he didn't want to go to Kelly Lake because his mom and dad were there. And I found out later that he was released from prison, just from Peace River, from the penitentiary there. And so he was so glad that I picked him up, and I asked him where he was going. So he wanted to go to Grand Prairie because his sister was there. And so that's what I did. And I drove all the way from Grimshaw to Grand Prairie. And what's the poor guy? I told him my testimony. And I invited him to receive Jesus. And I gave him this Bible. And I even made, here I'm driving down the road. I said, right, you know, here I told him all about the Bible and what it meant and why I was different. And oh, he said, yeah, you're right. And we had a really good talk. And you know what? The best part? Somewhere here. Yep, here it is. He gave me this keychain. Guess what it says on it? Faith, hope, and love. You know what? He was this close. I don't know if he received Christ. But he said, I'll think about it. This is the memory of Mr. Latender. And do you know what happened? Gave him the Bible, and he said, thank you, Richard. We had a good talk. I dropped him off. 3 weeks later, his sister came by the shop. Said, how are you doing? I said, you're Richard, aren't you? Yeah, I said, I'm Richard. You gave my brother this Bible. Oh, yeah, I did. He overdosed that night. He's gone. But you know what's neat? Is I told him. We gave him the word and he had to choose. And there's been times I picked up a hitchhiker and all we did was talk. I never told him. I don't know where he is. But this guy had a chance. And then the poor sister, I had to tell her about the Bible. I said, there's hope. You don't have to quit there. And you know what? She took it. I said, thank you. I don't think I've seen her before again, or maybe I have. But Jesus always gives us hope. And you know what? I'm one of those Gideon guys. You should join the Gideons, just so you know. You should come see me. Because then you can pass out these. And even if you're not a Gideon, guess what? This church belongs to the Gideons. They're a CP, what is it? Something about a church. Anyways, you pay money to Gideons, and we have these books. And I want you to take this with you. Because do you know why? It's called hope. And do you know what's in hope? Ha. First thing is Psalm 23. All it is the Psalms. So it's from the first part is the Psalm. If you look up and it says, this is what Psalm 8 says. When I look into the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars you set in place. Yeah, obviously God made this. There it is. This is for someone that really is source of searching. And then if you turn to another one, Psalm 36, guess what it says? Your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens. These are words of truth, straight from the Bible. And then you know what? I'll turn to my favorite psalm. It's 139. And it says, you watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. I was woven together in the dark of the womb. And you saw me before I was born. I feel sorry for you because I'm a masterpiece because God made me that way. And he cares about me. That's God's word. And guess what else? Then it changes to John, the book of John. It says, have you ever wondered who Jesus really is? Have you heard people talk about him? This is a book about him. Guess who John was? His favorite. He says the one who God loves, or the one who Jesus loves. And it tells us that. And you know what the best part is? Right at the back, is it says, God loves you. God, all are sinners. God has a plan for us. God has a plan for me. He's got a plan even better for you. Because, and then it's called the commitment cage. Because then you can commit to Jesus. And there it is. I want you to take these. One of them, two of them. Keep one in your truck, in your car. Because it's so good, we've got to share that. Talk about what happened before you were born, before you accepted Jesus, how Jesus made the difference. And now, what's life like now? Even if you were saved like I was as a kid, you got a story. Tell that story to someone else. Tell it to your neighbor. Because guess what? They need it. We can't take money, but you know what? When we go to heaven, we can take our family and all the friends and the people we talk to. So take it. I've talked too long, told too many stories, but may God challenge us because we're new creatures. We have a reason to talk.
Thank you for listening to our podcast today. If you would like more information about us or find out ways to contact us, visit our website at www.beaverlodgealliancechurch.com. We pray today that you would experience the love, presence, and power of Jesus Christ and then make him known.